Well, good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with me to Psalm. We're going to go to Psalm number 85. Psalm 85. In 2012, which seems so long, long ago, far, far away, Miss Pat and I first started having the chance to be here with you, we used Psalm 85 as our psalm as a church. And so we come into the summertime. Good to see all of you. Glad you're here. And you know, summertime is a time to hopefully rest and have an opportunity to change your schedule up a little bit. The psalm that we're going to look at tonight, what I want to talk about tonight is, in the old days we'd call it personal revival, but we might want to call this tonight spiritual renewal. So I want us to think about, look what the dog drug in, ladies and gentlemen. What in the world? Here they come. Gentlemen, come on in here. Good to see. Edwin, are they going to sit on the front row? Man, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to teach or preach now. And Edwin's got on it. This is the Dirty Dozen, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give them a hand. Let's say hello. Not all the dozen made it tonight, but some of them drug themselves in here, you know. And we got the colonel here with his uniform on, so it's like, anyway, Psalm 85, gentlemen. We're glad you're here. God bless you for being with us. We have, we study in here. You study there. By the way, I wanted to give one comment to you. Some of you have been asking, so after 3 years in the Psalms and Proverbs, what are we going to do? We could continue in August with Psalms and the book of Psalms, but what I want to do is launch into what I don't know how long it'll take us, but we're going to study beginning in August in here, the book of Job. So I hope you'll tell your friends if they don't have a place to go. And now 42 chapters, I want to warn you. You know how long it was to go through Psalm 119. Some of you said, will we ever get out of Psalm 119? They moaned and groaned, and we tried our best. But we will be doing the book of Job. So here's the only thing I'd say to you is, you got a few, during July, we have our special family ties where we bring everybody together and have some fun on Wednesday nights. But if you want to get a head start, you might spend a little time back in Job, and I think it'll be a blessing to us and to our church. Lots of things the Lord has for us in Job. So we're back in Psalm 85, a prayer for God's mercy upon Israel, a prayer for revival, a prayer for renewal. In 1784, the Northampton Association in England, a Baptist association, the pastors issued a call to prayer on the first Monday of each month. This was 1784. 1797, across the ocean in America, 1784, now 1797. So the prayer meetings began in England among these churches. 1797, prayer meetings began to take place throughout churches in the United States. And from these prayer meetings resulted the what is called in the history of Christianity the Second Great Awakening. God brought revival to the churches, not through preaching, not through worship, through prayer meetings. So let this be a lesson to us as a church. So as we come into the next months and through this next year, we'll be talking about praying together. And that's what we learn, do we not, from the Psalms? We've been together in the Psalms a lot. When you don't know what to pray, pray the Psalm. Pray the Psalm. And tonight's an example. When you think about the Shantung revival that took place in China, started in prayer, the Union Gospel Prayer Meetings in the 1850s in New York City led to revival. New York City, of all places. Can anything good come out of New York City? So it was when God's people prayed. So tonight you have three paragraphs in Psalm 85, verses 1 through 3, verses 4 through 7, and verses 8 through 13. So before we get to this, let me go back to what I was saying. Summer is a time of changing rhythms and schedules. Summertime is a chance for us to renew ourselves, to rest. Work and rest, the Bible teaches us, are a balance, and all of us in this room need to practice that. If you work all the time and you do not rest, we know what happens. Renewal, God made nature to have renewal in times of transition and change. There's a time for everything under heaven. There's a time for you to rest. There's a time for you and I to work. So what we learn from Psalm 85 is the renewal that comes when we speak with God and understand His ways and His work. So I want us to think about renewal. Let's first read Psalm 85 together. O Lord, You showed, please notice the tenses, You showed, past tense, favor to Your land. You restored, past tense, the captivity of Jacob. You forgave, past tense, the iniquity of Your people. You covered all their sin. Selah. Pause. Now think about it. Think about it tonight. Just pause. You showed favor. You restored the captivity. You restored us from bondage. You forgave the iniquity, and You covered all their sin. Notice, You withdrew all Your fury. You turned away from Your burning anger. Then we have the prayer. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Your indignation toward us to cease. Will You be angry with us forever? Will You prolong Your anger to all generations? Will You not Yourself revive us again, that Your people may rejoice in You? Show Your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us Your salvation. Prayer for revival. Notice, what does God do when we pray for revival and renewal? I will hear what God, the Lord, will say. I will hear it. For He will speak peace to His people, to His godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Notice how the psalm started. O Lord, You have showed favor to Your land, that glory may dwell. This is that Hebrew word, to tabernacle, to dwell in our land. Then look at this. The results of revival, loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven, from above and on the earth, all around. Look at these beautiful things. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good. Third time, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before Him, and will make His footsteps into a way. Amen? Now that's a psalm. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can gather in this place and do what is the only right thing to do. Open the Word of God and listen to what You have to say to us from Your Word. We pray, yes, Lord, for the land of America. We pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for Your grace and mercy, yes, in the lands, but we need renewal in our personal lives, Lord. We need it every day. You've given us blessing in the past, but it's not enough for today. We need it for today. So today we ask. We ask, restore us. We ask today that You would show us and grant to us what it is that only You can give. May tonight, as we spend some time thinking about this, may this be our prayer, not only individually, but as a church, that we might pray and ask that You would give us a time of refreshing personally, so that when we are together, we might sense joy and refreshment in the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you for the fellowship we have around your word, and we thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit who teaches us, without whom we would not be able to understand these things. And we thank you for the fellowship we have, and bless this wonderful church and its ministries and our people, our choir, and all the others who meet tonight, our children, students, so many things tonight we have going, and we're grateful for all the things we do. May what we do please you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now I want you to take the time, before we take the next little bit of time to study this, I want to go to the New Testament and give you three verses or comments from Paul that talk about this issue of renewal. And I know some of you are spoiled. You know, you people are spoiled here in this church. The preacher gives you an outline on Wednesday nights. I mean, can you believe that, Ed? These people get an outline. Edwin, they get an outline. It's all printed out for them. All the verses are on them. Why, they don't even bring their Bible. They can just read it right off the sheet. I decided tonight, go old school. No PowerPoint, no sheets. I'm going to make them appreciate what they have. I'm just kidding with you all. I hope you all know that. Well, sort of kidding with you. But tonight, in Romans chapter 12, we have a very familiar passage. And I want to give you these three references in Paul's work because Paul reminds us, this is the point. You're older today than you've ever been. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're older today than you've ever been. What the Lord did for us yesterday was for yesterday. What he does for us today is for today. Amen? Isn't that right? So today's all we've had. Today's all we've had here at 6:54 in the evening. And I know some of us had a hard day. Some of us had a good day. Or somewhere in between. Some of us have come in here, your mind's, just going like a tumble dryer. You can't even, if you sit still much longer, you're going to fall over asleep. Just, if your neighbor does that, like I've said, just put them up against the chair and pat them on the head. And we'll wake them up when it's over. No better place to be to go to sleep in church. At least you went to sleep at church. Ken, don't you go to sleep over there. So we read these very familiar words. So what I'm saying is all of this to say, you must rest, yes, but you must be renewed daily. Renewal, sometimes people say to me, well, I don't sense anything from the Lord. Okay. I don't feel, you'll have comment, I don't feel God's presence, all right? Why is that? Is that the church's fault? I come to church and I don't feel anything. Doesn't seem like anything's there. We learn from the Lord Jesus, God's always working. Did you know that? He's always working. But we don't always see it because sometimes we're not renewed. We're not in a spirit of renewal. So my point is, in nature, there are cycles of renewal and change. In your life and mine, You gotta spiritually eat every day, and you must renew your mind every day. Romans 12:1. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's my responsibility. So people say, I don't get anything out of worship. What did you bring? Present yourself. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you can prove or determine what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I won't know God's will in my life if I'm not working through the practices that we've learned and talked about in this church a lot, prayer and study of the Word of God and memorization and meditation on God's Word and fasting and the practices of Jesus. When I don't do those things, when I do not exercise my spiritual person, my new nature, when I'm not renewed, I miss what God's doing. I just miss it. I don't sense it. I don't hear it. Sometimes when people will say that about how they don't feel, they're telling on themselves. They're talking about their spiritual condition. I don't feel God's presence when I go to church. Okay. Are you renewed? Are you renewed? Then Paul says something else, which is very important, in Ephesians chapter 3. And I have to make these general comments before we get to the Psalm, so please let me do it and I'll be brief. But Ephesians 3:23. Paul here talks about, 4:23. Paul says, "You did not learn Christ in this way," 4:20. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life," 4:22, "you lay aside old Mike." Now I'm reading it for me. You put your name in there. Old self. "Old Mike, which is being," what? "Corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit." Oh, there it is. You stay with your old nature, you're going to get corrupt. Corruption is always the old nature. God, we're born again, but we still have that old nature. Corruption can set in. We know corrosion's not good for a car. We got a man in our church who, you know, before he'll buy a car, he wants to know where it came from. If it came from, you know, the north, he's not interested in it because he's worried about corrosion on the frame because of the salt. Corrosion and corruption. But notice, this is a imperative in verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So renewal comes in the way we transform our thinking. And then for the sake of time, I'll just read Titus 3:5, and here's what it says. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Listen, by the washing of regeneration, when I'm born again, washed and cleansed, praise God. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The renewing, present tense, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We need always renewal. We don't need a season of renewal. We need an everyday renewal. Are you listening to me tonight? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Yes, of course. When we come together, there are times and seasons we call ourselves together. This is my illustration. To pray. To pray. Well, what's so-and-so's opinion? Well, what's so-and-so's opinion? Well, what's God's opinion? So-and-so needs to get straightened out. Such-and-such needs to be right. I've got that. You know what's amazing when you pray? The Lord will tell you what you need to change in your own life. Did you know that's what I've discovered? So, Lord, you know, I'm praying about such-and-such and this, that, and the other. And the Lord says, well, how about if we start with you, Mike? Let's work on, I got a list for you before you go to everybody else. I got something for you. So now we are prepared, and so I want to say this to you to remind you, I love you in Jesus, I'm your pastor, and I'm not asking you to do anything I don't do, but you must eat God's word every day, you must renew yourself daily, or you'll come and you'll say, I'm not getting anything out of church. Okay. Whose responsibility is it to be renewed in our mind? You have that responsibility and so do I. So now we come back to this glorious psalm. It is an interesting psalm in many ways because it describes how God does things for us and then how we need to ask him to do it for us again. Did you catch that here? This is the interesting repetition here in the psalm. So let's go first to number one, in my outline, the way I would outline it. Spiritual renewal begins when we consider God's past blessings to us. Notice what they are. Let's go to them. Verse 1, you showed favor. Aren't you glad God showed favor to you? For by grace are we saved. Aren't you glad? Are you glad about the favor of God? If God has favored me, surely I can find it in myself to show favor to somebody else. I mean, you would think that. To become a gracious person because grace has been extended to me. What if God kept bringing it up to you, all the things you've done? By the way, you know, God says, you know, I'd love to have this relationship with you, but, you know, I'm never going to be able to get over this, this, and this you did. It's not grace. So how can we accept the graciousness of God and not be gracious people to show favor? Those who have experienced favor, show favor. You have showed favor to your land. You have showed favor to the people I'm looking at in this church. So many of you, Pat and I have been here long enough. We know your stories. Thank God for you. God has shown favor to you. He has shown favor to you. He has shown favor to us. Yes, He has shown favor. He showed favor to Israel time and time again, to the nation of Israel. This was the thanks and prayer of the psalmist here for the nation of Israel, the sons of Korah, praising God's favor on Israel, which should have been wiped out multiple times. And yet here's Israel to this day, amazingly protected in the midst of, you talk about a bad place to live, a bad neighborhood. That neighborhood's a rough place over there. You restored the captivity of Jacob. Aren't you glad you've been set free? Some of us have been set free from some really heavy bondage in our lives. I need an amen. You restored the captivity of Jacob. By the way, did you notice it's the captivity of who? The rascal, Jacob. The rascal. Any of you ever been like Jacob? Deal cutters, you know, smooth operators, great liars, con artists, tried to out wrestle God. Then you got afraid. Here he is. The captivity restored of Jacob. You know, always pay attention when the psalmist or in the Old Testament of which of the patriarchs is called upon. Here we are. You've restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. So it's the blessing of grace and favor, the blessing of salvation. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered it. You covered it, forgave and covered. And then look at this astounding statement. You withdrew all your fury. No one can live in the anger of God. No one. The absolute destruction that comes from the wrath of God. You turned away from your burning anger. So look at those three verses. Tonight, as we're together, it is our opportunity to pause. And again, I want to take us through and just, we want to pray again, and let's pause to thank God for His past blessings of grace and favor, salvation, forgiveness, and acceptance. That's what is being said here. Think about it. And let's pray for a moment. Let me lead us through this. Heavenly Father, we first pause to say again, we say thank you because you have shown favor and you have restored our captivity. So Lord, we all have our own story of how we came to know Jesus, how we met Jesus. Thank you for favor. Thank you for freedom from bondage. You have set us free in Christ Jesus. We are set free. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you forgave our iniquity and you covered our sin. You do not hold sin against us. We thank you for the Word of God that teaches us that we are forgiven people. Forgiven people. So tonight, for some of us, we need to hear the Holy Spirit say to us again, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. When we've confessed our sin, we thank you for forgiveness and covering. Thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you have withdrawn your wrath, and that the wrath of God has been removed from us through Jesus Christ, who incurred the fury of your wrath and turning away in separation from a holy God so that we might be free from the wrath of God. Freed. No more anger, no more wrath. Lord, you are grieved when we sin, but we thank you that the wrath of God has been moved out of our life, and we no longer have to live, those of us who are born again, with the fear of hell and judgment. Thank you for that. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your salvation. And then we come, secondly, to confessing our current condition. So what God has done for us in the past, here's where we learn. He must do for us in the future. That's why these words read so interestingly. Notice that these are the phrases we looked at before when we were thinking about this. These interesting words, these phrases, restore us, verse 4. And then we read down in verse 7, show us, and then grant us. Restore us. Excuse me, I left out in verse 6, revive us. Restore us, verse 4. Revive us, and bring us back to life, verse 6. Show us and grant us. Think about these verbs now for a moment. What is it that God does when He revives us? First, He restores us. Restoration. So Pat enjoys, one of her hobbies is to watch those shows, you know, where they take a junk house and whatever they do to it. Flip, what's it called? Yeah, they flip it around, you know, go in there and, oh my, look, this house has termites in it. Well, you know, oh look, the pipes don't work. You know, they tear it all out and they restore it. And everybody's happy and they fix the house up and it's restored. And it's a wonderful day because they've restored this house. There's nothing like the restoration of a human being. Did you know that? That, I mean, is in pitiful shape. Pitiful shape. So what does God do when He renews us? He restores us. He restores the image of God. He restores to us a relationship with God. Think about all the things that have been restored to you and I. When I got up this morning, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and because of the free pardon of sin, and because of being born again, I could sit down and pray and speak with God the Father. A restored relationship. It's an awesome thing. Oh, all of us in here, we need to think about God restores us. Now look what all this has in it about restoring. Verse 4, restore us, O God of our salvation. So what does He do? Cause your indignation toward us to cease. Restored relationship. No more indignation. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? So again, when Israel would repeat its path of unfaithfulness to God, when Israel would again find themselves hardened and not follow what God had called them to do, when, what did Jesus say? They killed the prophets. One after another, did not pay attention to what God would say when He would send His prophets, ignored the law of God, were hard. And so again, the nation of Israel needed restoration. Look, when I get far away from God, when I go back into carnal sin in my life, God must restore me. God has to restore me. Then you have this phrase, revive us. Notice the plural, revive us. Each of these is a community thing. This is what we pray together, church. We pray for God to restore us to one another, restore us to our relationship with God, restore the joy of our salvation. This is my point earlier when somebody says to me, you know, I don't sense anything when I come here. Oh, may God restore the joy of your salvation. Joy in Jesus does not come from what somebody else does for you. Joy in Jesus comes from the inside by the Holy Spirit. He says, revive us again. Which tells us this takes place more than one time, right? I couldn't go to enough revival services to get this done in my life. It's got to happen every day. Even though I'm good with special times when we do whatever we do, I'm simply saying this is a personal matter. This is a personal issue of revival, personal revival in my life. And I'm asking you, my brothers and sisters, tonight, do you need to be revived? Every day. Thank you for that answer. Here we say, here we read it. Will you yourself revive us again? Notice, not will you send a prophet, not will you read the Bible to me. Will you, who revives me? God revives me by His Holy Spirit. That's what we read earlier from Paul. The Holy Spirit renews you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit renews and revives us. And the importance of this for us to remember is this reading is that it's the idea of He revives us over again. It's almost the picture of new birth, that your people may rejoice in you. There's no joy where there's no revival. It's just not there. Then He says, show us. How many times have I prayed, Lord, will you tell me what to do? Will you tell me what to do? Or we pray it this way, will you show me what to do? Show us not what to do, show us your love. Now that gets you somewhere. Because God's not only good all the time, we've learned from the psalmist, God loves us all the time. Is that not good news tonight? Does that not help you, friend? The Lord loves you. Even when we're not lovable. I'm glad of that. Are you? You know, just look in the mirror and think. I'm older than I've ever been. Sometimes I act like a rascal. And God still loves me. Just ask your spouse. They'll help you out with it. Show us your love. How many ways can the Lord show you His love? You know, sometimes He sends somebody your way to remind you you're loved by God. Sometimes He does it in many ways. My question tonight is, do you have sensitivity to see when God shows you His love? You got to see it. You got to see what's unseen. And only when you have renewal in your life and you're alive and revived and you're restored can you see it. Well, I don't know what God's doing. You know, we talk here about in experiencing God, and we talk about a lot about looking to see where God is working. You know the interesting thing? Unless you have spiritual eyes to see, you can't see where God's working. But He's at work. He's at work in our world. In the midst of what you heard on the noise box today, God's at work. You know, I'm going to quote my famous John Wesley line. You know, I read the newspaper. Now, I read the Bible to find out what God wants me to do. I read the newspaper, which was all John Wesley had in the 1700s, to see what God's doing in the world. Pretty good thought. We all looks like chaos to us, but you know what? Jesus Christ reigns as ruler over all nations today. Do you believe that? Jesus is Lord, ascended to heaven. He is Lord. So we confess it while the world thinks we're crazy. Show us your way. So do you see? Do you see what God plainly is doing in your life? You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're going to have to come before the Lord, renew your mind, sit down long enough, quit trying to do all the talking, and listen, and look. And then He says, grant us. Now that's a good word. That means somebody's giving you something you don't deserve. To be granted something. You know, so some of our students go to school and they receive a grant. You know, I was honored. You know, I came from a large family. We didn't have a lot of money. I'm grateful for the school I went to in Oklahoma. Oklahoma Baptist University received a grant so I could go to school. A grant. I didn't earn it. I couldn't deserve it. It was granted to me based on the qualifications. God grants us salvation. We don't earn it. Anybody in here think you earned your salvation? Granted. So when I'm revived, I'm feeling it. I'm restored. I'm fully alive. I'm fully alive. I'm seeing what God is doing And I'm experiencing God's gracious grant, one thing after another, granted to us. What did Jesus say? I will not leave you without a comforter. The Holy Spirit will come. What has been granted to us? Oh, my soul, my body, the Word of God, the fellowship with God's people, and the Holy Spirit. What else do I need? I've been granted these things. Now, quickly as we finish up, the last few verses. Look at the results. You know, that's a description of what it means to be revived. Four through seven, that's a description of personal revival. Now, what are the things that happen around us? You know, it's important to see how God's working in, through, and around us. See, now I look around here, every one of you God uses as you leave this place to be a blessing and to share with others. It's what we say as a church. We follow Jesus, we love other people like Jesus, and we tell the world about Jesus. So when we leave this place, we share the blessings of what it means to have a relationship with God. So now look at this. I will hear what God the Lord will say. That is a profound statement. For He will speak, notice, not anger, peace to His people, to His godly ones. God speaks peace. He speaks peace. I was thinking the other day about how Paul described it. So when you pray about everything, and we're going to be looking at Philippians in the days ahead, pray about everything, right? And the peace of God will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what it says? Did you know within the amazing reality of our God, who is a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is perfect peace. There is no chaos. There is no turmoil. There is no fighting. There is no warfare. Think about that's the peace that God speaks to you. Why do so many of God's people live in terror when God speaks peace? He speaks peace. I'm not experiencing renewal and revival when I'm in terror. Listen to it again. I will hear what God the Lord will say, for He will speak peace to His people. But let them not turn back to folly. When we turn back, the peace of God goes away. Think about the peace of God. When something comes at you and you're thinking about something, and you know as soon as you start thinking about it, it starts the churn inside you. You know, it's like the washer has that thing that churns all the stuff. You can tell I never do any laundry. What's it called? The agitator. Oh, there you go. That tater word. So remember, whatever that agitation is, it starts to come. Think about it. When the peace of God's there, it's like it hits the peace of God and goes away. You hearing what I'm saying tonight? Am I just talking to myself? Well, if I'm talking to myself, it's helping me. I need the peace of God to break that stuff when it comes into my mind, is what I'm saying. And the Lord says, Mike, be at peace. What did the Lord Jesus say when He could have said anything in the upper room when He appeared multiple times to those dear friends of His? What was His words? He could have said, get busy, wake up. What have you been doing? But He didn't say any of that. He said, peace to you. So Jesus speaks. Listen, for some of you, it's time to go sit down somewhere and not listen to somebody else, but hear what the Lord says. He usually is not shouting, by the way. He's usually not shouting. You got to listen. Pastor Mike, you've gone crazy. You're talking about seeing things you don't see and hearing things you can't hear. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Surely His salvation is near. The Hebrew word is, it's with you. It's a hard way. It is beside you. The picture is it's connected to you. It is near those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And what did Paul say? Christ in you, the hope of. It's so good. And then these amazing phrases to describe, look, these are the qualities of God. Loving kindness and truth meet together. Love and truth come together. You know, what did John say about the Lord Jesus when he was exalting him in the first chapter of John? You know, when he's talking about that the true light has come into the world. You remember all of these things he said. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his, what? Glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father. Listen, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. That's our Lord and Savior. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. And by the way, those seem like they would be opposite. Righteousness and peace kiss? How beautiful. Loving kindness and truth come together, and righteousness and peace kiss, and truth springs from the earth. So while the lies and the falsehood and the enemy destroys and kills, the Lord Jesus has placed his church and his people, and out of his people, when they're revived, truth comes from the earth all around this world tonight. It'll never be reported on a news broadcast. There are those who follow Jesus in hard places. And what I love about it is truth springs from the earth. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Truth springs from the earth. When Jesus is lifted up, truth springs from the earth. Even here in good old Dixon, truth springs from the earth. And righteousness looks down from heaven. It can't get any better than that. I'm not in heaven yet, but when I'm walking with God, guess what happens? Truth is springing from the earth, and above me, righteousness looks down from heaven. Why do we not understand what we read? This is the problem we have of missing things when we learn them from God's Word. When we've been studying these amazing Psalms about brokenness, why in the world would David, in the middle of being in the cave, I'll just read it to you again because it's so important. When David was in the cave, why in the world of all the things he could say, would he say, be exalted above the heavens, O God, and let your glory be in the skies? Well, he understood the glory of God is not only in us, but when we're here doing God's work, the glory of God is around us. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Well, Lord, I don't like what you're giving me. Well, have your kids ever told you that? It's either not enough, it's not what they wanted, it's not where they wanted to go, it's blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. And you were trying to give them what you thought was best for them. Do you hear what verse 12 says? The Lord will give you what is good. I don't like what I got. God's way of looking at things is different from our way, isn't it? Some of us in our church have had to go through some hard times, and they don't look like good times. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield produce. The point is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Revival, renewal, relationship with God brings fruitfulness, and righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps a way. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. And we pray that you would help us as a church. And we pray that you would help us as individuals to pray these words, restore us, O God of our salvation. will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. We will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Lord, we know this to be the promise you give not only to Israel for the future, but also to us who've come to know Jesus. Revive us again. Will you not revive us again? So, Lord, tomorrow when we start the day, if you give us another day, may we be renewed in our minds. May we experience the power of the Holy Spirit to renew us. And may we then come together and experience as a renewed people the joy of honoring Jesus on Sunday, if you give us that many days. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.